RadioMD.com.
Listen, it's health radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
According to a study conducted by Stanford University Medical School, teenagers, and you know we've talked about this a lot on my pediatric show, are clear about the risk of smoking cigarettes, but it seems that they are less so when it comes to marijuana or e-cigarettes specifically, too. The findings were published in the Journal of Adolescent Health, and they show that while teens get clear messages about the dangers of cigarettes, they don't receive as much, or they receive conflicting information from media, families, teachers, peers about marijuana and e-cigarettes. With all the legalization going on in the country and medical marijuana debate raging around, I'm sure that this can be quite confusing. I know my 15-year-old son has asked me about it a lot. My guest today is Christopher Yadrin. He's the director of Chicago Recovery Services, and he oversees the clinical operations for Rosecrans. Welcome to the show, Christopher. So tell us a little bit about teens and why you think there's this conflicting messages about e-cigarettes and marijuana specifically.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thanks for having me today. As you just mentioned, I think there really are a lot of conflicting messages or sometimes just a lack of information. For years, especially around cannabis, it's been controlled so tightly, and especially in terms of research, there's, I think, been limited research, and we've done a good job of telling teens about the adverse consequences of smoking cigarettes or using nicotine. But when it comes to e-cigs or marijuana, it's a different story oftentimes. So for e-cigarettes, I think it's this perception that it's just simply vapor, or it's, you know, because it's not, you know, in terms of traditional smoking, that it's not going to affect me the same way. But there's a lot of studies, there are a good number of studies that are emerging that where we look at the adverse consequences of nicotine on a developing brain, for example. And then with marijuana as well, you know, lots of adverse effects on when it comes to development. I think that's the big deal. At Rosecrans, what we try to do is stay out of some of the political climate of this, and just simply they'll recognize legal doesn't equal safe, and approach
that's right.
It from more the medical point of view. So,
well, legal doesn't equal safe. I mean, alcohol is legal, OxyContin
yeah, exactly.
is legal, and Vicodin is legal. You
yep.
know, and those things are certainly abused in an epidemic, and as is alcohol, of course. So, I've done a lot of shows, Christopher, on the teenage brain, which is like something from outer space. They especially boys, and they don't get it. They
yep.
have risk-taking capabilities. Their brains are actually, it's a fascinating topic, really. Their brains are actually different. So are they just not getting it? Are they're hearing these messages about marijuana, and they're not thinking that it applies to them just as they would dive into a quarry or drive too fast?
Well, I mean, there are always going to be individuals who decide to use, and there are certainly, you know, individuals who will minimize the risks and what have you. But, you know, what we've learned is through education and through legislation that's helpful, we really have helped teens understand the dangers of nicotine and cigarette smoking. In this study that you referenced, it's a qualitative study, and when you read some of the comments of these teens, they find it almost ridiculous that one would smoke cigarettes. Why would one do that and, you know, risk the harms? But there's this minimization of the harmful effects of these other substances or behaviors. And so I think you can get through. I mean, you're right. There's some, I think of myself, I'm 43 now, but I think I must have checked out completely between 13 and 19.
Oh, yeah.
And remember suddenly coming back online, realizing what, you know, what was that all about? So, in spite of, and that's not to be pejorative toward adolescence in any way.
No, of course not. And when you were 13, there wasn't an online. You said you came back online. Well, we had it differently, right?
Right.
It was different then. And now it is certainly, obviously, cigarettes are unacceptable in any situation, and kids learn
right.
about these things. But the DARE program is proving not more and more not to work, Christopher. So what are you
right.
seeing with teens and people who come to you and say, my son is smoking a lot of marijuana, he's doing poorly in school, or he's unmotivated, he used to be in sports, but he was in the DARE program.
Right, right. Well, sometimes education isn't enough, and you need to think in terms of stronger interventions. I think a lot of times, too, people misconfuse or misconstrue when it comes to addiction, that it's really about the differences between, well, they'll say, for example, well, it's just marijuana or it's just something else, and they'll compare it to harder drugs or what we think of as harder drugs. But at Rosecrans, we really try to help people understand the nature of addiction versus a recovery lifestyle. And addiction is when you it's all about disengagement. You know, you isolate from relationships. You give up activities you once enjoyed. You see kids who aren't playing baseball or involved in some of the clubs they once were involved in. And so, any substance, with qualities that we're, such as we're discussing today, I mean, it pulls kids away from living, really, and they end up in isolation. They end up in trouble, and so we try to help parents and kids realize sometimes you need more than education. You need to think in terms of some significant interventions and professional help.
So do you believe, and as the director at Rosecrans, which is an amazing facility, and I know you're right near the border there, and what a great facility you are, mm-hmm. but tell us a little bit about red flags, things parents that you want them to know about, some things that they might spot in their children. You know, I mean, those of us that maybe did smoke and things in high school and college mm-hmm. know that we have to look for these eyes and eating things and maybe being unmotivated or sleeping a lot or all these other things. But is it any different now? What should we be looking for?
Sure. Well, I mean, there's ways in which it's similar. There's ways, of course, that it's different. The THC concentrations, for example, now compared to the early 80s, are maybe 10 to 30% as opposed to 4% respectively.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are some real differences. But in terms of warning signs that you just mentioned, of course, there's the physiological, presentation of the eyes or other things you might notice physically. But I think some more telltale signs, for example, is a sudden drop in grades or sudden drop in academic performance. If you see your son or daughter suddenly sort of giving up activities that they once really enjoyed and loved. Another key indicator, probably one of the best, is a sudden change in their peer group. And so if they suddenly stop spending time with one group of friends and begin to shift to another, that oftentimes, not always, but it can mean that there's a problem. Kids will sometimes have either product, meaning the drugs themselves, or paraphernalia on their person. And of course, we've all heard that's not mine or that's my friend's. I would take it a little bit further. If they have, I wouldn't take that at face value, so to speak. If they have either product or paraphernalia on their person, that usually signals that there's a problem. So I would take that.
Oh, come on. No parents actually believe when a kid says that's not mine. I'm holding it for a friend anymore. I can't imagine. Have you?
Go ahead.
Really? That's just denial, though.
Well,
that's
I've
just
had,
denial.
Yeah, it is denial. It's hard. Parents really, they hate the idea of my kid could have a problem with drugs or alcohol or be considered something, we use the term addict or something like that. And so denial is pretty powerful. I mean, I've had a parent
who found
needles. Go ahead.
And didn't believe it. And I know a girl who did the same, found a bent spoon and needles and didn't believe that there was crack involved. But now we only have 30 seconds, not even 20 seconds, 10 seconds. Okay. Give us your best advice and give us the website for Rosecrans.
Yeah, the website is rosecrans.org. We'll be happy to answer any questions. And, my best advice would be, don't take risks with the child or son or daughter that you love most. Reach out, get the help that you need, and we can support and stand along by your side.
And I think another important message is communication. Know your children. Know what they're doing. Know who they're hanging out with. Look at their texts, Be their friend on Facebook. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. Stay well.